Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what is eliminationism? Raúl Fernández Víctores is a high school philosophy teacher and frequent contributor to Radio Sefarad's Spanish language programs. He's published books of essays, fiction, and poetry, although his special area of interest is the Holocaust, which he has approached in some of his writings from the point of view of philosophy. Fernández Víctores is the director of the Territorial Center for Innovation and Training for Southern Madrid, which is part of the teacher training department of the Madrid Regional Ministry of Education, Youth, and Sports. He's led his department in the development of a special section devoted to Holocaust education, which includes the publication of a guide for the teaching of the Shoah, designed for teachers at the elementary and secondary school levels, a bibliography of resources, and the organization of lectures and workshops. Mr. Fernández Víctores spoke with us about his own work and the new Shoah teaching guide.
Thank you very much for speaking with us, Raúl. Could you please tell us first what the Territorial Center for Innovation and Training is?
Thank you very much for the invitation. I'm glad to stay here with you. Our Territorial Innovation and Training Center, South Madrid, in short, you say the CTIF, South Madrid, is a training center for school teachers and also for high school teachers of the community of Madrid. And since the year 2008, we have been designing and offering all these teachers courses and many other kinds of activities, training activities, like, for instance, seminars, working groups, and also training project in the center to related to the Holocaust.
Now, this center is South Madrid. Does every part of the community of the region of Madrid have one, or is this specific? Is this special?
No, it is not special. It's a part of the Education Consellery of Madrid. And my center is in Leganés, but there are five centers like this one. And a central one, which is the general, that is in Madrid, in Las Acacias.
Uh-huh. You're the director of the center. Can you tell us a little bit about your own background? I know you're a philosophy teacher.
About my own background?
Yes, your own background.
Well, I am a professor of philosophy in the secondary education. And, I've studied a lot of philosophy. I've read many authors of philosophy. And I began as director of my center, of the CTIF South Madrid, in the year, I think it was 2007. And since then, I am trying to improve the teaching of the school teachers and high school teachers of all the community, you know, because we are in the south, but we can reach all the centers of the community of Madrid.
I think a lot of my listeners, especially in the United States, I don't know about other English-speaking countries, will be very surprised that they teach philosophy in secondary school.
Yes, of course. Well, secondary school, we have in the second course of high school, we have a history of philosophy. And in the first one, a subject called philosophy, which is a mix of many things.
You wrote a book called Seneca in Auschwitz, The Guilty Writing, and you have a special interest in the Holocaust. Where did this come from? Is it related to the philosophy?
Yes, of course, completely. In my case, I reached the Holocaust by accident, you know, because my interests are in the study of the modern societies and the evolution of the capitalist societies. And so I found that these capitalist societies that were born at the very beginning, asking for huge masses of workers, in a sense of human bodies for working, and that proclaimed all over the world the rights of the man and the citizen, and even the universal rights of the human being. In a point of their history, they find that they don't need such a huge mass of workers, of people anymore. You know, even they find out that it can be a profit to destroy the human surplus, you know. And this discovery, a horrible discovery, pushed me to the study of Holocaust and trying to find the concordances and things like that, you know.
So you think there's a relationship?
Yes. Yes, there is a relationship. And I think one of the causes, for instance, the Shoah, you cannot explain Shoah only by the reason of the Judeophobia. It is a necessary cause, the Judeophobia, but it is not a sufficient one. You have to appeal to another reason, another cause. And I think the other cause is a tendency, an old and not so strange tendency in the States called eliminationism. I don't know if you have read the book of Goldhagen, who speak about the eliminationism. The eliminationist is a trend of a state to kill part of its own population. And this is a temptation which is in our societies now. That's the very risk that the Holocaust or something similar can be repeated.
So something that just occurred to me, and this is sort of a difficult question, is that with problems that we're feeling right now, like climate change and a lot of migration of different populations and overpopulation of certain places, mm-hmm. Do you think that this is going to be a solution, that the solution will be the elimination of large parts of, let's say, excess population?
Maybe it can be like this, you know, but eliminationism has existed since the old times, you know. The singular things in the Shoah and in the Holocaust in general is that the eliminationist trend appears inside the capitalist societies, which were societies that never talked about this kind of elimination because they needed really huge masses of people. And here we have all the philosophy of Michel Foucault, the French philosopher, over the body of the man and how at the very beginnings the capitalist societies need to study the human body. They wanted to preserve the human body. But in a point of the evolution, the capitalist society put the accent in the technology, in the machinery, and so we begin to find that there is a human surplus. What can we do with this human surplus? Of course, you are not going to kill now all the people we have now at the moment here in Spain, 6 million of unemployed people. You know, you are not going to kill them. But I think it's a very real temptation, which is underlying in the politics of these kind of states.
Wow. Tell us about the work that you're doing at the center with relation to the Holocaust and Holocaust teacher training.
Well, you know, there is an international frame for all of this. You know, at the very beginning of our millennium, in the year 2000, I think it was made the declaration of the Stockholm International Forum of the Holocaust. And this declaration prescribes the incorporation of the study of Holocaust in the curricula of the educational centers of the states that signed that declaration. Fortunately, a month before we published our didactic guide of Shoah, I will talk about it a bit later, at the end of the last year, the Spanish Parliament passed a law, which is called the Organic Law for Improving the Quality of Teaching, which is better known as the LOMCE, La LOMCE in Spanish. And this law prescribes also the study of Jewish Holocaust as an historical fact. This is exactly the formula that appears in the law. The study of Jewish Holocaust as an historical fact. And this is very important in two ways. First, because it defines perfectly an object of a study. We have to study not the Holocaust in general, but the Jewish Holocaust, the Shoah. And secondly, the law is telling us how we must study the Holocaust. And this law is telling us that we must not approach to Holocaust directly as we tend always to do, you know, from our ethical values, from a strictly moral point of view. Because if we do that, we can rate the Holocaust, we can say it was a horrible thing, it was even an inhuman thing, and even an incomprehensible thing, but we won't understand a word about the Holocaust. The law is telling us we have to approach the Holocaust as an historical fact, trying to establish, to set the context, the historical context in which Holocaust is produced. So I think that's important. At the end of the last year, we began to try to make some didactic materials that could offer all the teachers of primary and secondary education of our community the opportunity to implement this international declaration and now to this national law. And so we made a didactic guide of Shoah. We have published 2,000 books of the didactic guide of Shoah, and we have distributed in all the community to all the educational centers of primary and secondary of the community of Madrid.
So I assume that you have different directives or different suggestions for different age groups.
Well, yes, this is a guide to teach the teachers. We are not trying to teach the students. So we need that the teachers of primary and secondary know how to teach in their classes. So it's a very didactic guide that tells them how to act in their centers, you know. And the guide is divided into three parts. The first one is an introduction. The main body of the guide has the title of the structure of Shoah. And at the end, we put an epilogue. In the introduction, we try to define what Shoah is. And we define the Shoah as the destruction of more than 5 million Jews by the National Socialist State or any other state in Europe during the Second World War. I think these four elements can define perfectly what Shoah is. We have the victims, the target of the destruction, the Jews. We have the agent of the destruction, which is a state. Shoah is not a pogrom. It's not an action of the civil population against the Jews. No, it's an action of a state, a very civilized and developed state, which was the German state. Basically, we have a place, Europe, and we have a time, which is during the Second World War. These four elements define perfectly the Shoah. And in the introduction, we try to find out the causes of the Shoah. And we say that, of course, one of the main causes of the Shoah is the Judeophobia. I prefer to use this term instead of antisemitism, because Semitic is an adjective that you can apply, as you know, to Jews and also to Arab people, you know. So I prefer Judeophobia because you can define better the object of your hate. And the Judeophobia is very deep in our tradition, in our cultural tradition of the Western countries, you know. We can find Judeophobia since the 4th century. In the 4th century, when in the year, I think it was 380, the Emperor Theodosius proclaimed the Edict of Thessalonica and made the Christianism as the official religion of the Roman Empire. There began the first form or the first kind of Judeophobia, which is a religious one, religious Judeophobia. The second important stage of the Judeophobia in our history is in the 11th and 12th centuries, and it grows with the constitution of the Christian kingdoms of the Western countries. There we find that the king doesn't feel very safe among his own nobility, and he gives a place in the kingdom to the Jews who are very well defined and a part of the kingdom. They are living in the aljamas or aljamas, but they are apart and they are incorporated in the state mostly as collectors of the royal taxes. And so here it produces the image of the Jew as an usurer. The first kind of Judeophobia produces the image of the Jew as a deicide. You know, the Jews were those who killed the Christian God, the Jesus Christ, and so the deicide. You know? The second one is the image of the Jew as an usurer. And there is another form of Judeophobia in the modernity with the constitution of the national states and the mythum of the completeness of the political body.
So once you developed this program, has it already been used to train teachers, or is it going to be used?
It's going to be used. We have made many courses related to Holocaust with teachers, secondary teachers, and in the primary schools too. But we sent this year, at the very beginning of the year in January, we sent this didactic guide to the centers. And next course, we are going to make a big course to offer the teachers the opportunity to apply this guide in their classes.
So you haven't really had any feedback yet?
Yes, I had the feedback that they have received the didactic guide and that they have classified in their libraries, in the center, and every teacher can use the guide with their pupils.
Very briefly, because we're running short of time, can you tell us about the Holocaust Library and the bibliography that you've developed?
Well, yes, we are very proud of our Holocaust Library in Leganés. I think it's one of the best libraries in Spain about Holocaust. We have already more than 600 volumes specialized in Holocaust, and I invite everybody to use our library because I think there are materials you cannot find out, or it's difficult to find out of the library.
So is this library available to the public in general or to educators?
Especially for educators, especially for school teachers and high school teachers, but we also offered it to investigators and doctorandos and things that we consider are very interest in the study of Holocaust.
Are you working on anything new for the future or just developing these projects still?
I am trying to develop this project, but I am always thinking of new things about related with Holocaust because we are in mind the great figure of David Bankier, who is my master and the master of many other people who are teaching about Holocaust here in Spain now.
Is this material available outside of the region of Madrid too?
Not at the moment, but maybe in the future it could be used.
If anyone wants to contact you for more information, where can they contact you?
They can contact us calling the CTIF South Madrid in Leganés. We have a web page, and so it's very easy to contact us.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
If you would like more information about the CTIF in Leganés, please click on the link on this page. Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you, so please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSefarad.com. See you next week.